You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special musical edition of the Fabulous Peldon Cast. I'm your co-host Kevin Peldon.
I'm Tristan Carcino.
And we're going to focus on music today, as I implied there. It's me reviewing Pitchfork's top 10 songs of 2013.
I'm going to try to focus on your reviews. I'm going to add in some color when necessary.
But, I'm sure you'll have some thoughts.
But I really want to hear your thoughts on these songs. So the Pitchfork list of the top 100 songs of the year came out on Monday, and we're going to be looking just at the top 10. I wanted to get some factual things out of the way first, which was, how many of these songs did you know beforehand?
How many of these songs did I know beforehand? Let's see. I guess 4.
Okay. How many of these artists did you know beforehand?
I believe that would be 7.
7. Okay.
Maybe 6.
For me, there was one.
7, I guess.
There was one song on here that I hadn't listened to before. I won't say which one.
Well, aren't you special?
When we get there, we'll see what it was. Mm. There are a few surprises in the mix, and it was exactly what I wanted this list to be. So I'm really excited to hear your thoughts on all these songs. You gave me a bit of a sneak peek, and I'm excited to see what comes.
Yeah, we'll see where this takes us.
But let's dive into the Pitchfork top 10 songs of the year. So we're starting with Autre Nouveau, Play by Play.
Not a song I'd heard. And it seems like Autre Nouveau may be the most obscure artist on this list.
Of the top 10.
Yeah, of the top 10. But I would definitely listen to this. I really enjoyed it.
It's got a good beat. You can dance to it.
I mean, I don't know what kind of insights I'm going to provide here about each song.
Maybe this isn't what I was looking for. No, I think it's a really cool song. I was really surprised that it was on there. Autre Nouveau was somebody who I wanted to headline the Vera stage at Capitol Blog Party this last year. And they ended up not being available, but I was really shocked to see it on this list at number 10.
So you feel very hip about that? You were ahead of the game on...
Not necessarily. I mean, I heard them described today, I was talking at this, as a perennial underdog group. They're a group who never gets the kind of respect. Like, looking at the amount of Facebook likes that Autre Nouveau has versus the number 9 group, Def Heaven, who's also probably the second smallest group on the list, is very different. Autre Nouveau has like 17,000, Def Heaven has like 50,000.
It was kind of hard to find to play on Groove Shark.
Really?
Like, it wasn't like something that popped up immediately with artists and... You know, all sorts of playlists and things like that.
Any other thoughts about Autre Nouveau?
I don't know.
Okay, not a lot on Autre Nouveau.
I don't know what you're expecting me to have on each of these songs.
I'm thinking that you'll have more on the rest of them. Let's move on to number 9, which is Dreamhouse by Def Heaven.
So, over in GChat the other day, I told you that I considered one of these songs utterly unlistenable and maybe the worst thing I've ever heard. And I assume you realized that was about this song.
Said you're gonna call it the worst song of the year.
I think so. I think it may be the worst song I've heard this year. I am not a fan of death metal or any really severe metal, which this is, despite the random interludes in the middle, which I did make it to one time. I think I listened to it all the way through one time, but that was it. That wasn't gonna do it more than that.
You couldn't bear, even for the purpose of this, to listen to it.
Oh, absolutely not. I already knew.
Are there any other bands that you've listened to that sound at all like this?
I mean, they remind me of some of the worst parts of rock music in the early 2000s and late 90s, but no, not particularly.
The worst parts of rock music in the early 2000s? Wait, who?
Well, I guess rap rock. Like, Creed is really the worst.
Definitely sounded like...
No, I don't think that... I'm saying I don't think that...
Okay.
That Creed was actually the worst part of it, but... There were also negative elements that were more death metal-ish. And yeah, I have no interest in it. So get it away from me.
Get it away from me.
Kill it with fire.
I think Grantland had the Def Heaven album as the number 1 album of the year. Steven Heiden on Grantland.
Well, that is very disappointing.
I'm disappointed in you, Grantland.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
I mean, I like the song. It's...
What's wrong with you?
I was really hoping that you would call something not even music. This is the closest I'm sure you'll be.
Yes.
It's so relentless. I mean, it sounds to me like a shoegaze song. I wouldn't even think of it as a death metal song. Just the vocals. It's like a really propulsive, relentless shoegaze song.
You can hear vocals in there?
There are vocals.
I know that there are vocals. I'm joking.
But aside from that, that's the only... That's the most metal aspect. But it's so, like, propulsive. It's coming at you. Def Heaven played in Seattle. We were in Vegas at the time. I wanted to go see Def Heaven. Because there's a lot of buzz about them. And I still want to see them. We were in Vegas when they played here, so I didn't get to go. But I think that the song especially would be good to see live.
I suppose perhaps if you were in fact deaf, the fact that their music is so propulsive and relentless and loud, like you could probably feel it more than quieter songs. So, you know, maybe it is good for people who are deaf.
Okay. It's heaven for people.
Hearing impaired.
Like Beethoven.
I think that covers it on Deaf Heaven.
Okay. We have number 8, which is Get Lucky by Daft Punk.
I mean, Get Lucky was, to me, the song of the summer. It unfortunately got surpassed for that honor, I think, by Blurred Lines, which it will forever be connected in all of our minds, I think, is the two songs of summer 2013. But this, to me, much more, Get Lucky much more sounds like 75 degrees and sunny. Like, anytime I hear that, it automatically transports me back to last summer, which is a very pleasant thing this time of year, but also kind of depressing knowing how long it's going to be until it's actually that kind of nice weather again. But I would have had it as my number 2 song of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm curious to hear what would have been your number 1 song of the year.
Well, we will hear that later. But, you know, just an awesome pop song.
So do you remember the song came out, I believe it was a Sunday night. It was some sort of night, and it came out.
It was like late May.
And I went and listened to it, and I was like, okay, this is the only song I'm ever going to listen to in my entire life. And I proceeded to listen to it over and over and over and over again for 40 times or so. And I still am not sick of it.
And what I recall is that you messaged me, like, have you heard this song? And then I went to listen to it. And I somehow got, like, an instrumental version.
It came out as, like 30-second clip beforehand.
Yeah, I don't know if I got, like, an extended version of that or something, but, like, it was, like, this keeps building to something, but it never gets there. I didn't realize that was actually not the song until, I think, there was the ad for it on Saturday Night Live when I finally watched that week's SNL. Then I was like, oh, the song actually sounds totally different, and this is amazing, and exactly as you described it.
Okay.
And it was all I wanted to listen to.
You were like, I feel like this is building to something that never happens. And I was like, oh my god, we're listening to a different song right now.
We literally were listening to different songs.
Also, Ron Swanson approved. If you've seen the gif of Ron Swanson dancing drunkenly with his little hat, listening to the song.
I have not seen that. But
you have to watch that.
If Ron Swanson approves, then I approve.
Also, who would have imagined that what we needed in the year 2013 was a 70s funk song played by French electronic producers.
Seems fair.
that was what you were expecting. It also was crazy. I agree that this was the song of the year. So I think that this was the song of the year for everyone, right? Somehow it managed to get Daft Punk played on Q93 and just everywhere that they possibly could be.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, Blurred Lines probably had the most crossover appeal of any song this year.
Blurred Lines also made the list of Pitchfork top songs.
Yeah.
I was a little bit surprised that it was on there because it's terrible.
I mean, it's good for what it is. But Get Lucky is a much better song.
And I think that Get Lucky will preserve much better also.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, Blurred Lines is divisive. Everyone liked Get Lucky.
Yes.
It's not like you ran into someone like, man, Get Lucky, overrated. Like, you would immediately unfriend that person.
On Facebook.
No, in real life.
I just don't think you say unfriend in any other situation. Except I'm unfriending you.
It's a more convenient word because whatever else you would have to describe it.
We're no longer friends. We're unfriends.
I mean, that's the technical term.
So, number 7 on the list. Latch by Disclosure featuring Sam Smith.
So this one, I felt like I had heard it. But I don't know that I've actually heard it. I don't know if it doesn't seem like it was sampled anywhere or anything like that. So I don't know if it's just very familiar sounding. But
we've listened to this tailgating at the very least.
Okay, that would make sense. That would be where I've heard it. It's undeniably catchy, and I think it's going to be a huge hit when it actually gets like widely released in the U.S., which apparently is coming soon.
It's not widely released in the U.S.?
There was something about that.
I think you're wrong about that. It's just, I mean, it came out on their album, which came out in like July or so.
I think I looked this up on Wikipedia, maybe.
On a mainstream label, but this already, it already is a big hit. I mean, they're a huge group, and this is already a big song. But so this is the song of the year for everybody else. Right? Get Lucky is the song of the year for everybody, and Latch is the song of the year for everybody else.
Yeah. For the indie kids.
for the kids. But, so this was the first time that you heard it and you liked it immediately?
Yeah. I mean, it was between this and Play by Play for my favorite of the songs I was hearing for the first time.
Oh, okay, for the first time. I was like, wow.
No, not overall. Yeah, the song will be released as their debut single in the United States in January 2014, according to Wikipedia, which is never wrong.
I can't imagine it being more popular, but if it is, then this is going to be a huge song.
I think it's got that potential.
I mean, it's the number 7 song of the year on Pitchfork. It's already a pretty big song.
Yeah, but Pitchfork is its own ecosystem. It's its own world.
I want to talk about that at the end, because I had thoughts on that also.
I'm sure you do.
But wait, so
any... Are there things on which you don't have thoughts?
And anything else on this? Because clearly you like this song.
No, I mean, I don't know what else there would be.
I remember hearing it for the first time in February or so, and I asked one of my friends, I was like, do you know this Disclosure group? Because these songs are pretty awesome. And she was like, no. And then they were like the hugest group a month later. They really took off. But the song, it starts out so good. But then when it goes into the chorus and it goes into that, now I've got you in my... You're like, yes! And it's so built for singing. I've seen Disclosure live 3 times this year. And it's been amazing every single time they play the song. It's like everybody in the room erupts into excitement.
Just losing your minds collectively.
And they have another really, really catchy single, White Noise. I don't know if you've listened to that.
No, I noticed that they had something else on the list, though, when I went through the whole top 100.
And to me, I consider the two of them basically the same. I think Latch is probably a little bit better, but those two songs are really similar, and it's kind of hard to differentiate which is a better pop song. And people freak out when they hear either of them. Okay, at number 6, we've got Haim with The Wire.
So I first heard of... Is it Haim?
Haim.
Okay, when they were on Saturday Night Live a few weeks ago, which is kind of surprising that, you know, I'm reasonably well connected. I mean, I'm not, you know, in my 70s. So yeah, usually when people are on SNL, I've heard of them before. That was kind of a rarity. But I hadn't really listened to any of their music before this. And it started growing on me a bit. I didn't like it as much as Play by Play and Latch, you know, right away. But it definitely grew on me with the vocals.
I just don't know about the song. It's so clean sounding, you know? It's like a debut album. So I've held dates for Haim at Vera before. And when we did that, this was over a year ago. And I went and listened to the demos that they had. And I was like, these are pretty cool songs. And now that they come out on like a full album on a major label, they're so polished sounding. Everything about it sounds like money, right?
I suppose so.
And there's a part at the end where a little bit of keyboard comes in that's kind of cool, but the rest of it is like classic rock riffs and like big Queen drumming. It's like, what is this? How is this even on the top 10?
But I think it's good if it allows their vocals to stand out.
The vocals are okay. I thought that they were, I like that it says here, the fact that even your mom is now pronouncing this band's name correctly. So you couldn't do that. I'd be curious.
Well, I'm clearly too attached to Corey Haim's pronunciation.
Yeah. I didn't see them when they played here not too long ago, but I just think that this band is like, they're basically a classic rock band masquerading as an indie rock band right now. They're indie rock in name only, is what I think about Haim. Trying to think about Foster the People is another group like that. There have been a lot of groups who've kind of come out like that, and I'm telling you, we will hate this band in 1 year.
Ooh, that's a bold prediction.
That's... Okay, next we have Ciara with Body Party.
And why did you want me to talk about this?
I just wanted to hear you talking about how sexy this song is.
I mean, you can't really say anything else about this song. I mean, it clearly is. It's undeniable.
It clearly is what?
It's undeniably sexy.
Oh, that's what I wanted to hear.
At the same time... obviously, sampling or interpolating My Boo, which was one of my favorite songs back in the 90s. So it mostly kind of made me want to listen to that, and I did, and it was great, and it was frankly still better than this song.
Better than Body Party.
Yeah.
Really confirms what we knew in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Is that mid-90s R&B pop was really good.
It was, and it stood the test of time, amazingly.
It was pretty shocking when this came out that there was a song sampling that so heavily. I was like, oh, what?
How did the Ghost Town DJs not make it bigger? That's one of the questions I had here.
They need the one person, right? Ciara is just that one person.
Yeah.
And Ghost Town DJs is not something that can become popular.
But I don't want to be too negative about it because, you know, it does a good job. It's just, I think that sometimes it's not good to remake something that's too good in the first place, you know?
Ghost Town DJs did it perfect. Ciara shouldn't even touch that song. Did you watch the video for the song?
I did not.
Oh, you really should. It's sexy. And also has a great guest appearance by Future, who is Ciara's boyfriend.
The first couple of Atlanta hip hop.
Yes. A Future who I learned. Do you know Future? Same damn time.
I know Future.
Much older than I thought he would be. He's 30 years old. Another thing that I learned, which I might talk about this when I talk about songs that should have been on the list, 2 Chainz, 36 years old.
Wait, really?
Yeah. I would have guessed that 2 Chainz was 22.
Yeah, I would have guessed early 20s.
He is really old. He's older than you are.
And I am super old.
Yeah. 2 Chainz, like, remembers the Reagan era pretty well. I was shocked by that.
He didn't have any chains at that point, though.
No chains. He was called Titty Boy for a long of the time. And then we have, at number 4, Arcade Fire with Reflector.
So this, I think, probably would have been one of my top 10 songs of the year. I like it. I enjoyed the performance.
I like it.
I enjoyed the performance at SNL. You know.
So you liked the song right when it came out, right?
I think so.
I remember I didn't like the song that much when it came out. I still am not 100% sold. But I feel like it's obviously got the James Murphy influence on it, right? Mm. And James Murphy is one of my favorite artists of all time. But it feels like it's building to something that never quite comes.
Oh, really?
Maybe I'm only listening to a 30-second snippet of it.
It could be the problem. I've heard that happens to many people.
But the best LCD Sound System songs start so quiet you can barely hear them, and then build up into these cascading songs, you know? You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? You don't know the best LCD Sound System songs.
Probably not.
All My Friends, no, nothing.
Shrug at the top of my head.
Well, you should listen to those. They're really good. They're the best songs of the 2000s. But it just feels like this needed to do a little bit more. It's cool that they're putting out this, like, 70s David Bowie-influenced, like, electronic funky song, you know, with, like, a good groove. But it just doesn't quite hit it there.
I don't know. I don't agree that it needs to build to something more. I think that, you know,
you think it's all about the groove.
It gets to the point that it needs to get to.
Okay, so you have this song and then another song that's all about the groove and Get Lucky, right?
Yeah.
They settle in and just like, they're like funk songs basically. They're repetitive funk songs. I don't understand how this could possibly be ahead of that.
Yeah, I don't know what the argument is for them against each other. To me, Get Lucky is clearly the better song.
I mean, maybe Get Lucky doesn't touch on any of the deeper themes of what this might touch on, but I don't really know what those are. I'm sure that it does.
I mean, it's Arcade Fire. There must have
They're a big, pretentious band. There has to be some sort of bigger theme going on there, other than Pharrell getting lucky.
Which, it doesn't need to have anything more. It's perfectly sufficient.
I agree. I just didn't... This song is a good song. Arcade Fire are one of those bands where... apparently Owen Pallett did the string arrangements. They're one of those bands where I like them about a year after their albums come out. I really start liking them then. It takes a long time for me to like them. Bon Iver is another group like that, where it just takes a really long time for me to really like their albums.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think this one especially is like a grower, especially of an album. But this song too, it's like to really get into it and to understand it and break down all the little pieces and see what they're doing, it takes a lot of listens. It's not like Get Lucky where you're like, yeah! You're like, that is what I'm into. There's a lot. There's probably.
I mean, to me, Get Lucky is the rarity.
Yeah.
To be into something right away.
It's true. And you said that you liked Latch the first time that you heard it, also.
Yeah.
I mean, that song goes off, and you're just like, all right, that's it.
Yep. We're good here.
Okay, number three, and this is the song that I actually never listened to before. I've obviously heard of the band. That's Hannah Hunt by Vampire Weekend.
And I also obviously had not listened to it. At first, my kind of thought was it seemed a little slower than the Vampire Weekend stuff that I have liked in the past. But this one really grew on me quite a bit over the course of listening to it. I think that it may have surpassed, I mean, Diane Young was the song off their new album that I knew the best, but it may have surpassed that in my mind.
Really? I don't know a single song off their new album.
You should probably learn them. There's several on this list.
There are. What about Diane Young did you like?
I don't know if I can specifically articulate it.
What about this song stood out then?
Just, I don't know.
Just a better song. I thought that it was a little bit more restrained, so I hadn't listened to any Vampire Weekend
songs. It's definitely more restrained.
And I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, a lot of what Vampire Weekend was doing, I still don't like the way that Ezra Koenig sings. It still feels like he's singing with a patois, and I'm not particularly interested in that, and what he's got going on there. But musically, I did like that they reined it in, and that it wasn't this, like, barrage, you know, like a pop barrage. So I think that they're probably maturing as a group. And it's a rare case where artists can put out, like, a pretty good first album and then mature past that, especially in pop music.
Is it that rare?
Absolutely. Most often, I feel like you see a first album that's really good, and then artists fall off from there, you know? It's very rare, I think, that artists grow from there. I mean, some artists who I think of are, like, The National are a group who really grew from what they were doing at the beginning, and bands like that who kind of build upon what they're putting out. But like even Arcade Fire, they put out a classic first album and a slightly worse second album, a slightly worse third album, a slightly worse fourth album. But it seems to me like Vampire Weekend have grown as a band and put out better albums as they've gone on.
Was there anything you particularly liked from their first album?
From the first Vampire Weekend album?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I thought it was a pretty solid pop album, basically. I liked a few of the songs. I liked, what's that song called? The Walking Across the Campus song.
I think Walcott was my favorite
song. Walcott, that was a pretty good song. It felt like it was, the first album felt like it encapsulated a time and a place.
Yeah.
Which I thought was good. And this, I haven't listened to the whole thing. This song, I'm not sure if I'm getting that.
And I liked Oxford Comma because I'm in favor of any song that is just entirely about a piece of punctuation. Although I'm against the Oxford Comma in general.
You're against an Oxford Comma? That song, I think, is against the Oxford Comma.
Okay, good then.
Who gives a fuck about an Oxford Comma?
Right, that is, yeah.
I really feel strongly about pro-Oxford Comma.
Well, we're going to hash this out on a future podcast, special edition. Kevin and Tristan debate the Oxford Comma.
Okay, number two is New Slaves by Kanye West.
I didn't love this Kanye. I didn't love Yeezus. It's pretty severe at times. But to me, my favorite song off the Yeezus album was one that didn't make the Pitchfork Top 100.
What was that?
Black Skinhead.
Black Skinhead's a good song.
I just think that beat is so good. Like, especially, you know, just when it's by itself, like, you know, playing it at arenas or something like that, really solid.
You thought New Slaves was too much for you?
I don't know if it was too much for me, but I didn't like it quite as much.
I remember this was last week. I was like, have you listened to Yeezus enough times? When we were arguing about Childish Gambino, and I was saying, I don't have time to listen to Childish Gambino when there's so many other things going on in the world. And I was like, have you listened to ASAP Ferg?
He doesn't mean, like, actual real life things.
No,
he
no.
means musical things.
There's a Mandela died. There's so much going on. I'm busy. But I was like, have you listened to Yeezus? And you're like, no. I find it unsettling.
I mean, I don't love the direction of Kanye's work.
So, Kanye had a quote where he said that Yeezus, he was comparing himself to Bruce Springsteen, which I thought, okay, so here, he was saying that Yeezus was his Nebraska.
That's actually surprisingly humble.
It's true. It's true. He was saying that Yeezus was his Nebraska, and his next album will be his Born in the USA. So that might interest you more, because I know you're a big Born in the USA fan.
Only the deep tracks. Yeah, I mean, but I think the thing about Nebraska is, like, no one... I don't know that people really are listening to Nebraska as an album a lot.
All the time.
But definitely there are a few songs off of there that are classics, including Nebraska.
You don't think that people are listening to Nebraska? I consider it probably the best Bruce Springsteen album.
I mean, I don't know that people listen to it a lot in 2013.
I think that they do. Darkness on the Edge of Town and Nebraska are the best two Bruce Springsteen albums, in the same way that Yeezus is one of the best two Kanye albums.
Well, we'll see what stands the test of time.
I think you need to listen to it more. I think you've probably heard New Slaves three times ever. Also,
I've heard it more than that today.
Our mom had a similar opinion as you have, so you might want to rethink your opinion.
Sometimes it's just a coincidence.
Stop clock is right twice a day. But she's wrong in this scenario. When I was going to see Kanye, she had some sort of uncomfortable comments for me about how Kanye is terrible now. And I was like, I don't think Kanye is targeting you, Mom. This song, which is talking about race in America right now, not targeting 65-year-old white women.
Probably not, no. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Kanye is trying to convert them and, you know.
I don't think so. I think he's unconcerned with whether Mom is liking his music.
But I think she was probably more upset after you guys stayed out at the concert until the concert lasted until, like, 1:30 a.m. And we had to stay babysitting.
Well, Kanye can't be expected to go on time.
He can't deal with your, you know, human concepts of time. He's operating on a different plane.
That's true.
An atemporal space.
But obviously I love this song. I think it's great. I think it's really cool to see.
So do you think this is your favorite song off Yeezus?
No. I think Blood on the Leaves is my favorite song off Yeezus, which is actually number 11 on this list.
What was your favorite music video off Yeezus?
It was definitely James Franco and Seth Rogen doing Bound 2. Right? That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was one of the most amazing things that ever happened. But Blood on the Leaves was number 11 on this list. And I was happy that there weren't any two songs by the same artist in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there was a fierce debate about which Kanye song to
put in the top
10. It
was clearly
going to
be New Slaves, though. That was the song. I actually thought New Slaves was going to be number one.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't. Number one was Hold On, We're Going Home by Drake.
Which, we've already discussed this in the past and agreed that it's the perfect pop song. And I continue to hold that opinion, and it narrowly edges out Get Lucky for my number one song of the year.
Oh, wow.
So your Pitchfork and I are in agreement.
And Pitchfork's number one song.
I'm kind of surprised by that, but there we are.
It was one of those songs where the first time that I heard it, I felt like I'd heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought it sounded like Let's Get Married by, I think, Next. Do you know that song?
Wait, you thought it sounded like, oh, do I know that song?
Or is that the right artist? Or is that the right group? Next.
That sounds right.
I really thought it sounded like that. And then I think also produced by Jermaine Dupri. That and also My Boo by Ghost Town DJs, both produced by Jermaine Dupri, I believe. Jagged Edge. So maybe that's not produced by Jermaine Dupri. But... oh, look at that. Producer Jermaine Dupri.
There you go.
And Ghost Town DJs.
It all comes back to JD.
So, two songs in the top 10 for Jermaine Dupri this year.
Yeah.
But I really thought that it sounded like that, and it was one of those songs where I was like, I feel like I've heard the song a million times before, in a good way.
Yeah, it's familiar in all the best ways, but it is still bringing something new to the table.
And also, I think it's the best R&B song by a rap artist ever made.
No, I mean, I don't know if I could think of it something off the top of my head to challenge it.
When rappers try to sing, it almost always ends up awkward. And in this case, it doesn't at all.
Well, Drake can totally pull it off.
Drake can pull anything off. I think that
pull off a wheelchair.
I think that the Drake album, I think that these are going to be reversed for their top albums of the year. I think Kanye is going to be number one and Drake is going to be number two. But this was Drake's year, and this song feels like the number one song of the year. When it comes on, you're just like, yeah, that's the song right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think this and Get Lucky are the two songs I wanted to hear the most over the course of this year. So that's why they're my top two. I mean, we never reviewed the Drake album Nothing Was the Same like we vowed to do on the podcast.
Have you watched the video for Hold On, We're Going Home?
I have watched the video.
Do you have any thoughts on that? Because it's insane.
It's very strange, yes. I never envisioned it being about him, you know, being out while she's getting kidnapped.
It's a really weird video. And it doesn't add anything to the song. And has about 4 minutes beforehand of no song at all and all story.
You know, that's... Which I feel like rarely see these days.
It's a very 90s thing to do.
Very 90s.
In a lot of ways, this is a really 90s song. So in the year...
I mean, there's a lot of Drake, like, loving the 90s on Nothing Was the Same. And this is...
Remember?
Kind of the pinnacle of it, even if it's not... I mean, technically, I think, I guess, Wu-Tang Forever would probably be the pinnacle of it. But this, in terms of style, was that.
But I do think that modern times... have involved a lot of blending of genres between hip-hop and R&B and electronic music, and I think that this is kind of the peak of all three of those, is Hold On, We're Going Home by Drake. It's a hip-hop artist singing an R&B song, which is basically an electronic song, right?
Yeah.
So, it's pretty cool. The other thing that I was thinking more in general is that Pitchfork gets this identity of being, like, hipster and outsider and cool, and their top song is a pop single, is one of the biggest pop singles of the year. And a lot of their top songs are basically just mainstream, like, rap, pop, radio songs.
I mean, yeah, definitely, I think probably three or four of the top, probably four or five of the top ten.
And especially at the top of the songs, too.
Yeah, yeah, at the very top, yeah. They didn't make a statement, basically, by what they put number one. They just... confirmed what we already knew.
Put the best song at number one.
Big mistake.
Any other thoughts on the Pitchfork top 10 songs of the year? Do you have your own top 10? Anything else?
I don't know if I have a top 10. I thought about it a little bit and came up with a few of my favorite songs from the past year. But I don't know if I even came up with a full 10. I don't know if I can rank them all.
What are some of the other songs?
San Francisco by the Mowglis.
Really?
Yeah. I was really enjoying that one for a good portion of this year. I think that technically came out in 2012, but nobody really listened to it until 2013. I figured there should be something from Rihanna in the list, and I went with Monster, which I've been listening to lately, on the strength of her vocals on the hook.
And that's her, and I have no idea what that song is.
You don't?
Rihanna and Eminem?
Yeah.
I might know it if you played it. It was like that Roar song by Katy Perry. I was like, I have no idea what this is, but I heard it and I knew it. And I was like, oh, it's that Pink song from 3 years ago. But it turned out it was a brand new song from Katy Perry.
It is not like that Roar song. I'm going to just... Okay. The one that I had potentially in my top 10 that actually made the Pitchfork top 100, the only other one besides the ones we've already covered, was Beautiful by Miguel and Mariah Carey.
Hashtag beautiful.
Hashtag beautiful, yes.
Having Miguel around always makes things better.
Exactly. And then, now they went with several Daft Punk songs in the top 100, I think three of them, but they did not have my second favorite song off the album, which was Lose Yourself to Dance.
I agree. That was a really good song. I was surprised that didn't make the list.
Sweat. 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 Lose Yourself to Dance.
I've danced by myself in the car listening to that song a lot of times. I've never danced by myself listening in the car to Touch by Daft Punk.
Agreed. I mean, it's a good song, but it's not quite as fun as Lose Yourself.
That was a strange inclusion.
I mean, I don't think it was a strange inclusion. I think it was probably number three on my list. I mean, I don't know. Off that album, which... and then I also had a second choice from Nothing Was the Same, which, again, same thing, was not their second choice, not in their top 100, although I think they had two or three songs, which was The Motion.
I'm really surprised by that.
I don't know why, I just really love that song.
That is probably my least favorite song in that entire album.
Wow.
Worst Behavior?
I mean, I like Worst Behavior, but it's not as catchy as The Motion.
Really?
I mean...
Remember?
An important criteria for me is the ability to successfully sing along with these songs.
It's true, and that's what I was thinking about Latch. Latch is the sing-along song of all these songs.
Although they kind of mutter a little through of it. But then you can just make up whatever words you want, and it's okay.
Even better.
Yeah.
I would love to hear you sing along to Body Party also. any other thoughts on the Pitchfork Top 10 Songs of the Year?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's what I expected, more or less. I mean, you're right that it probably trended a little more poppy at the top than I expected, but...
Yeah, I think that was... I mean, it was basically the songs that I was expecting. I had a friend today, my friend Rachel, who was saying that she was live Google talking, which is what we do in the future, live Google talking the Pitchfork top 100 songs and predicting the top 10. She said that she pretty accurately predicted the top 10, maybe not in order, but at least the songs, which I was kind of surprised about. I knew that Latch would be on there when I was clicking through. I knew that Get Lucky would be on there. I was shocked by Entre Nouveau. I didn't think that would be on there at all. And then maybe it'll prepare Entre Nouveau into a different echelon as a group.
Won't be returning your calls anymore.
I was not surprised by seeing Haim, Vampire Weekend, Drake, Kanye, or Body Party. I was like, yeah, it all seems about right. It seems like the best songs of the year.
What else would you have had on your list?
Blood on the Leaves, and then also Feds Watching by 2 Chainz. How is that not on the list?
That's one I considered, yeah.
If I was making the list, it would have been number one. So you had the three songs that Pharrell put out, like, kind of in general succession, which was Get Lucky, or that he was on at the very least, Get Lucky, and then Blurred Lines, and then Feds Watching. And you thought Get Lucky was great, and then you're like, oh, Blurred Lines, that's going to be a bigger pop single. And then there's Feds Watching, and that destroys both of them.
I mean, is this the year of Pharrell?
Oh, yeah. It was at the very least the summer of Pharrell. Having him on a song meant that you're going to put out a brilliant song. And apparently Feds Watching, the way that he's talking about it is not... He's not talking about
the NSA.
The NSA.
Yeah.
But when we listen to that song in the future, he's going to be talking about the NSA.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what he actually says. It's irrelevant.
And it's like the best way, in my perspective, to like respond to the NSA. There's nothing we can do about it, right?
Yep.
The NSA are going to be watching us, no matter what. I mean, not us. They don't care about us. But the NSA is going to be watching us in general.
I mean, they're listening to this podcast right now.
And the best way to respond to that, I'm going to be fresh as hell with the Feds watching. I'm 36 years old, 2 Chainz. Who cares? I am living it up. So I thought that was a song where I was like, I can't believe this is not. It was on the list at the very least.
Yeah.
But I was really shocked that wasn't in the top 10.
Would you have had any Kendrick Lamar in your top 10?
Kendrick Lamar didn't put out an album this year.
But he was on lots of stuff.
They have Control on here. That was pretty much the only thing that was particularly notable. But there's a bit of a Kendrick Lamar hangover, I think, since he had so many songs near the top last year.
Yeah.
And put out the best album of 2012, or one of the best albums of 2012. I think that we kind of had to move away from Kendrick Lamar a little bit. I thought Worst Behavior maybe should have been a little bit higher. I thought this was a strange Earl Sweatshirt song to put on there. I thought Chum was a really good song, and I was kind of surprised by this. Oh, fucking Problems by A$AP Rocky.
Yeah, I was going to ask when we were going to get to the A$AP portion.
Another song. That, to me, is really the best rap song of the year. Actually, it even tops Feds Watching. It includes 2 Chainz, so I feel okay saying that. But was really surprised that Feds Watching, or that fucking Problems didn't make the list. Or it made the list, but it wasn't in the top 10 because that was the rap song of the year.
Yeah.
So, and it's the most sing-alongable rap song and has all of the best rappers who are rapping right now on it. So that would be a Kendrick Lamar song.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's anything else, though. I thought it was pretty solid.
All right, well, I think that about sums up music in the year 2013, huh?
Yeah.
You've pretty much covered it all.
All of music.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.